Would you please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and then Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Ephesians 5, 18, and then chapter 6, 1 to 4. And in verse 18, Paul writes, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is destructive, but be filled with the Spirit." And then in chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Now, the Apostle Paul is a great teacher, and he has a great method. He always lays down a doctrinal truth, truth with substance, something to believe, and then follows that up to show how that works out in life. Now, the doctrine he's stating here is the relationship of the Christian to the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, not with wine. Wine is destructive in that it's an influence. When people get drunk, they are, quote, under the influence. And so Paul correlates that. Don't be drunk with that, but be controlled or be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's our Christian faith. That's our doctrine. Be in surrender to the authority of God in our life. Now, what does that do? He follows it up with the passage about marriage, about husbands and wives. If you want to be a Christian husband, you must be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you want to live as a Christian wife, you must be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And when problems arise, we can go right back to verse 18 and say, something is missing here. Then Paul follows it up with a word about families. How do families live together? Under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. Then he goes further in chapter 6 to talk about employers and employees and the Christian in society. Today we want to zero in on chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, about the family. There's a word to children, and there's a word to parents. Now, if there's anybody in this world that needs help, it's parents. Parents need help. In fact, in our country, we are coming to a place of desperation. Our nation needs help. I read the other day where $50 billion a year is spent on purchasing drugs, and that we use more drugs than any country in the world. Politicians cannot help. The government cannot help. More taxes will not help. You know who can help? Families. Families can help. Whatever you can do, parents, and whatever you can do, young people, do not get into drugs. I know people today who are in the middle age, but the result of using drugs remains with them. They cannot function fully because of that. parents need help because of this, the crime and everything that's happening. We don't need to get into that, but parents need help. If there's one thing we can do as a church, it would be to help parents in a godly home. Now, let's look at Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, the message to children and youth. And this is the dominant message in the Bible to children and youth. In fact, it's hard to find a different word to children. Here it is. Obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. This is God's word to children, young people. Obey your parents. Children are under authority. And that authority is the parents. And the way children learn to respect and obey the authority of the law and other civil authorities is through the parents. God placed children with parents, and they are to obey the parents. And Paul refers here to the commandment. That is the commandment, the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment, children, honor your parents. Now, the Bible says this is right, it's in the Lord. Now, what God did is set up the law, the Ten Commandments, and then talk about the law for the home, for crime, for a lot of things, death penalty, and so on. In Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15, he who strikes his father or mother shall be put to death. Death penalty. Isn't that shocking? That's biblical. Should we follow that today? Probably we can't do that in our nation. But it's something we ought to think about. Verse 17. He who curses his father or mother shall be put to death. Now, if you're worried about the population and we carried that out, it would probably thin the population quite a bit right away. Why did God do this? He knew that rebellion and revolt against parents would be the collapse of society. And that's partially what we're facing today. And we need to take heed to this message. Children, obey your parents. You could grow up to be a great person in society, accumulate great wealth, have a great career, and you'd be a failure if you didn't obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The second word is honor your parents, which is close. It has to do with respect, and it means to obey cheerfully, with a good attitude, and not grudgingly. If children carry out your orders grudgingly, it is not obedience. You cannot tolerate that. You must solve that problem and do not allow it. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. And the people who have the responsibility to see that this is done are the parents. Children do not obey naturally. It is not natural for children to obey. They have to be taught to obey, and parents have the responsibility to do that. Now, Paul says, this is right. It's right because it's from God. And if we have any sincerity about following God's word, then we teach children to obey and honor the parents. That's God's word. Take this to your children this afternoon and remind them of this word. Now then, Paul goes on to give us a word to parents. And he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now it's interesting that he picks on fathers here, but I think that it's right because probably life's experience reveals that fathers are more exasperating and do provoke people to wrath more than mothers. Now, the word means do not irritate, do not drive to anger, do not be unreasonable. And fathers can be very, very unreasonable. Fathers have the primary role of being the disciplinarian. And if a man is putting his wife in that role, he's actually being very cruel to her and very unkind, and he is abdicating his position. He has been given the role by God of being the primary disciplinarian. And I think it's a good thing for a mother to say, if she has to discipline the child when the father isn't home, that child better know he's going to get it from the father too. Now, how do fathers exasperate? What happens? And mothers do this too. How do parents do that? One is by reversing the roles. When a man does not fulfill his God-given role, and the mother is forced to become the leader, or does that aggressively, it confuses children. And they are never able to adapt to life properly, to know what a man is, what a woman is, what a husband is, and what a mother is. Do not reverse the role, Father. Accept the role that God has given you and be controlled by the Holy Spirit and fulfill it. One of the complaints of young people who come with a family problem will say that I cannot get my parents to listen. And this is mainly the complaint against the father. The father just dismisses it, does not accept my problem as valid, and will not listen. Parents, do not provoke your children to wrath by being unwilling to listen. Give yourself to be a good listener. And a part of our problem of provoking each other is just comes out of our own anger. If you're an angry father or you're an angry mother, you'll probably make your children angry. And then sometimes we provoke people out of our own ego problems. For instance, with too much emphasis on good grades, what we want our children to become is good people. They're not all going to get good grades, and to make that an idolatry is wrong. And probably one of the reasons we want them to have good grades is so we look good. Have you seen the bumper stickers that say, my child is an A student at Harbor High? Or I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, my kid beat up your A student. I thought, well, that's pretty good. Provoke not. And then the positive thing he says is bring them up. Bring them up. Why? Because they're not up. They need to be brought up. And he says you do this by nurture and admonition. Nurture has to do with bringing to maturity. And maturity is a very difficult word to define and to grab hold of and put a handle on. that sometimes we say about a person, he's so immature, and she's so immature. It's hard to know what's really meant by that, but we've got a little bit of an idea. Children are not mature. They need to be brought to full growth, to mature them by preparing them, by training them, and the parents are guardians and trustees of their growth and are called upon to bring that about. Paul uses the word admonition, which refers to speech, to explaining, to defining, to encouraging, and to exhort to morality and to respect and to honesty and to bring about emotional strength. Parents, you could be very successful in life, gaining material wealth, being respected outwardly by the community. But if you do not follow God's word as a parent, it's a failure. The problem in our country is that many parents have abdicated being parents and just have left that role and gone to other things. So there was a judge in Brooklyn some years ago who was asked the question, how can we solve crime and juvenile delinquency? He says, I think 9 words, if followed, will do it. Put father back at the head of the home. When parents assume the God-given responsibility, it works, and works at home. Now, I want to give you several things here which speak of the evidence or how you know when you're building a godly home. What do the children look like? First of all, they cheerfully obey parents at the first command. Oh, that's a new one. Some people never heard of that. How many times have you had parents say, that's one, that's two? And I don't know how far you might go with that, but it could last quite a while, because what that kid is doing, saying, I'm not about to give in on the first one. I'm gonna hang him for a while. Let him sweat it out till I'm ready. And it's not obedience. Don't do that. Don't allow that. It's demeaning to you as a parent. Cheerfully obey the parents the first time. Secondly, not to interrupt parents who are speaking to each other. And really that applies to all adults. Children should not be allowed to interrupt the conversation of adults or parents. Don't let them do it. Teach them not to. It is not respectful. Thirdly, they ought to know they are not always going to get their way. That's a part of life. We don't always get what we want. We don't always get our way. And when we learn that quickly, we'll be better off in life. A great deal of life is spent handling disappointments, and they cannot be kept from disappointment. And another thing is that to know that they have input into family life, but not necessarily an equal vote. We're not coming to them for counsel. We're giving them counsel. To understand that parents have other things to do than just to meet their needs. And then to suffer the natural consequence of their misbehavior. When a child disobeys, they should be fearful. when they can disobey and think they're going to get away with it and there'll be no consequence, they suffer for that. It isn't right. Another thing is not to speak to parents as though they're peers. They're not peers. They're not pals. It's nice to say we're pals, but you're not pals. You can have, like Darren said, he can have, or somebody said you could have a friendship. But parents are authority, and we need to teach them that respect. You know, we could go on and on with these practical things, but think about this. Children, obey your parents. It's right. It's from the Lord. Parents, do not provoke your children unnecessarily, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And do not let your children divide you over disciplinary action or any other thing. Now, well, children are bright. They're not mature. They need to be brought up. But they know how to get to us by dividing us. Very, very clever. How they can go to one parent and hear one thing and go to the other parent and twist what the first parent has said to get things all messed up, and they come out the victor. Don't let them do it. Take a united front. Let them know ahead of time. We are parents, and God has put us together, and we're a family before you ever came along, and that you are not going to have control of this household. One of the greatest problems in our country is that children and young people are running the country. One of the greatest problems in our churches is that children and young people are running the churches. And church leadership is caving into everything they want just so we can have young people. It is not right. God made us adults, He made us parents, and we need to fulfill that responsibility. Now, folks, a lot of negative stuff here, but one of the great things to remember is to have fun. Have fun as a family. Make life enjoyable. Make it a place where children and young people want to be and want to come home to. And, that'll help us a great deal. Children, obey your parents. Parents, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Build a godly home. You'll help yourself, your children, your church, and your country. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for that role which has helped us so much. Thank you for the mothers today who are faithful, who love their family, and who give themselves. Thank you for the mothers here. Lord, thank you for the grandmothers here. And thank you that being a grandmother is such an important and great role in life. Thank you for them. Thank you for the mothers in our church, for these new children, and for the dedication they have to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we thank you this morning that we could meet like this. And thank you for your word, which gives us guidance, which teaches us what life is about and how our Christian life is to be directed under the control of the Holy Spirit to cause us to be men and women who honor you. Lord, help us. We need your help. We confess to you that we are totally inadequate and that left alone we cannot fulfill your word. So we call upon you this morning, and by faith we expect you to lay your hand of blessing upon us and rule our lives and put us under your authority and your control. This is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.